shall I take oaths? Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 101 and 102. Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we have already looked at the two principles of the third command. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In particular, we look at the prohibitions, the things forbidden, you're not to take God's name in vain, not to use it carelessly. But rather, the second part, we looked at the prescriptions, what God requires, that we live a godly life and that we use his name in a way that will honor him. Today we will look at one specific issue about the prescription of the law, what God actually requires, not just what he forbids, but what he requires in this law. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And that's the issue of taking oaths. Now we take oaths as Christians or vows. Oaths just simply means the legal solemn promise, and vows would mean the private personal promises like you would do in a marriage. But we have some Baptist friends who don't believe in taking oaths. Many charismatics as well. They believe it is wrong to do so. So we let God's word speak. He is the best arbiter of right and wrong. He's the only arbiter of right and wrong. So let his word speak. And our headings are three. First of all, take oaths, but don't blaspheme God's name. Second, take oaths, but do it reverently. And then third, take oaths, but not by lesser creatures or things. And our goals are that as covenant children, bought with the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that you will properly use God's name so you would bring honor and glory to him. Remember the operative word, glory. That's what we're here for. It's not about us. It's about the glory of God. So, let's look first. Take oaths, but don't blaspheme. Question 100 of our catechism. The question is this: is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it together? Yes, indeed. No sin is greater. No sin makes God angrier than blaspheming his name. This is why he commanded the death penalty for it. Now, it is right to take oaths, but you must not blaspheme God's name by misusing it. So no one is to shout out, "Oh my God," without properly directing that to God. If you stump your toe or you miss a bus, that's not a proper use of God's name when you blaspheme that way. Or we use the expression we talked about earlier. When you hear, "God damn you," that's a misuse of God's name. It's not a reverent use of God's name. It's in fact blaspheming God's name. But more than that, it is right to take God's name, and you must rebuke others who blaspheme God's name. Look at how this is taught for us in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. Together, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell, he bears guilt. So let me put this in a simple example. And we have enough Sams in our group, so I can use this on enough Sues as well. If Sam knew Sue was taking an oath before God and was lying in that oath, in other words, misusing or blaspheming God's name, and then Sam remained silent, then Sam would be guilty of blaspheming God's name as well, guilty of abusing it if he doesn't speak up. Just as Sue, who was falsely swearing, was guilty, so is Sam. That's how much God treasures his name, because his name represents his holiness and his purity. So whether you're lying under oath or you're just frivolously using God's name, it's the same thing. It's a misuse of God's name. You need to hold God's name with deep reverence. Moses made it clear that those who heard any abuse of God's name then and said nothing was also guilty of abusing God's name. In reality, then, you have an obligation to protect your earthly father's name. Don't you? If your father did something terrible, you try not to embarrass him or to shame him. And if you would do this for an earthly father, how much a father who's perfectly pure and good and loves you and has your future sewn up and sent his son to die in your place, wouldn't you want to honor his name more? And when you see someone using frivolously or blaspheming his name, wouldn't you want to speak up? Of course you would. You must try to stop others who abuse God's name. But of course, not everywhere and not every time. Because the context of Leviticus was in a legal situation. There are times when you have no right to speak. You must not try to regulate speech in your boss's workplace. That's his area of dominion. It's his responsibility. So you don't have to feel guilty if people blaspheme God's name at your workplace. But maybe you might say, if they're doing this, I don't want to sit next to them. I will stay away at lunchtime. And maybe they'll say, how come you don't want to sit with us? And then you will say, well, because you are misusing God's name. And it's a serious sin. And I don't want to be there to listen to that. And maybe you get an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. Or maybe you develop a relationship with someone at your workplace or in your school, and you can talk to them about that. You can say, yeah, what you're using there is quite a serious sin in God's eyes. Have you ever thought about that? You're ever conscious, you know, now OMG is like the word I. People don't seem to care anymore, and they misuse God's name. Or worse, when they're calling God to damn this or to damn that. Serious matters. So you may get an opportunity to talk to someone who's close to you. But you're not to force others outside of your area of sovereignty to do so. But what about in your home? Well, you can regulate speech in your own house. Not in parliament, but in your house. This means you need to teach your children and others in your household. You must not be a silent bystander, as our catechism says, when others blaspheme God's name, when you are able to speak up. And you know, there's sometimes you may have to leave someone's house, or sometimes you may have to leave a job if God's name is constantly blasphemed and it becomes unbearable for you. And again, maybe you have to leave someone's house and they say, why do you have to leave? Then you have an opportunity to tell them the language that you're using is difficult. I can't handle it. And you can tell them why. You get an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, who Jesus is, and why it's so important that you use God's name properly. Are there other things you can do to stop others from blaspheming or misusing God's name? And maybe to help them to use it properly? There's some more things. Look at some of them. One is, you have to live a holy life before the Lord so that there'll be no question how highly you respect the honor of God. When someone is telling you, oh, let's just get plastered, let's get drunk, let's go here, let's do this or that, and you say, no, I can't do that. God forbids that I do that. I must live a holy life. Now, by the way, don't misunderstand. Christians are not against fun. We have good fun. When someone is trying to tell you to break God's law, you say, no, I hold God in high honor. I'm not perfect, but God is pure, and I'm his child, and I have to live like God's child. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 23 and 24 in your notes, and let's read together. You who make your boast in the law, Do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. And what a shock that was, because Christians weren't living a good life. They tried to live like the world. They tried to talk like the world. Same language. When the world blasphemes, they blaspheme God's name as well. Or they don't live like God is holy and pure. So people think, well, their God is no big deal. Their God is just like any other God. And so God's name is blasphemed. Well, the Jews lived lives of hypocrisy. Excuse me, pretending to be good. To be good by their lips, but not by their lives. And they caused the Gentiles to blaspheme God's name. Or really to think lowly of him. But brothers, when you say, oh my God, it should be in the form of prayer or in the sense of worship. You see some of the songs we're singing today. When we cry out, oh my God, hear my cry. That's the proper use of God's name. When you say, oh God, help me. It's not some, oh, I don't have anything else to say. I'll just show my ineptitude. I don't know good words. And I'll just throw in God's name inappropriately. What else can you do to help stop others from blaspheming God's name other than live a holy life? Well, don't blaspheme God's name yourself. Let your speech be one of truth. Don't curse. And I'm not talking about profanity here. I'm talking about condemning people to hell. To tell someone, may God damn you. Do you realize what you would say then? You telling them they should go to hell and rot there for eternity with a guilty conscience, no hope. Not for the Christian. No, you will use God's name properly. 1 Timothy 6:1 says, together, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. How you serve your boss shows how you value God's name. If you're a bad employee, you are misusing God's name. You're saying, I want to be named after God, but I'm not going to live like the family name. You have to protect the family name. And by the way, the church may pronounce judgment on the wicked, even on your enemies, but it's not your job to condemn others to hell. So let's move to our second point. First one is that you are to take oaths, but don't blaspheme. And try to stop others from blaspheming if it's in your area of dominion. The second point is take oaths, but do so in a respectful manner. Question 101. But may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently together? Yes, when the government demands it or when necessity requires it, in order to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory and our neighbor's good. Such oaths are approved in God's word and were rightly used by Old and New Testament believers. Now, Jehovah, God of the universe, he was holy, who's omniscient, who's omnipresent, who's all-powerful, omnipotent, does not want you to be afraid, even though he's so great and powerful. He doesn't want you to be afraid to properly use his name in worship or in taking oaths. He just wants you to do it reverently. He wants you to call him to witness to the truth you speak, so he would bless when you speak the truth, and he would be honored by you speaking the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, together, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. That's a command. You are commanded to take oaths. Now consider some examples of proper swearing. This is from the scriptures. Men who were not afraid to swear. First of all, Jacob, he swore an oath that protected him and his family from Laban. Remember, Laban came chasing after him, and they made an oath. Or he made an oath. Genesis 31, 51 to 53, together. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that was honorable. King Saul asked David to swear that he would not kill King Saul's family when he became king. Remember, Saul was trying to kill David for a long time. Then he realized, no, God made him king and Jonathan will not be king. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 21, together. "Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul. David was right to swear. So you may swear on an oath in all serious occasions. And I'll give you some examples of when you may swear, just as we find example of David and so on, Jacob. A soldier in time of war swears to defend his country, and he takes and swears to take orders from his superiors. That's appropriate. You swear to tell the truth in testimony in court, in a legal situation. And you do this to add weight to what you were saying. So it's appropriate to raise your hand and say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God." You're calling God to witness, and you will honor God by speaking the truth. And you'll add weight to what you're saying. In marriage, which is often called a vow because of the private or family nature, you swear to love your spouse, but you are swearing before God to love your spouse. In church membership, you vow to serve the Lord and to submit to your elders. That's appropriate. That's an oath you take or a vow before God's church. You vow that to Him. So when our Baptist and charismatic friends refuse to take an oath, believing oaths to be sinful, they're refusing to honor the name of God. Simply because they misunderstood, as we've looked at before, those Matthew passages, thinking that Jesus was actually forbidding them from taking oaths, when the clear passage teaches us absolutely you are to make oaths, but for serious matters. How they robbed the Lord of standing up for His name. One more thought before we move on. Because oaths require understanding, children and mentally handicapped people should not be given, nor should they take oaths. Parents or others may speak for them, but they are not to do so, because you must have a good understanding of what you are making an oath to do. So then we come to our third point. So we are to swear, but we have to do so in a reverent way. And the third point, take oaths, but not by lesser creatures or things. So question 102, may we swear by saints or other creatures together? No. A legitimate oath means calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness my truthfulness and to punish me if I swear falsely. No creature is worthy of such honor. So you may only swear by Jehovah or Yahweh. You may not swear by anything or anyone else. The Apostle Paul, for example, had an opportunity to swear by one of the deceased saints, maybe one of those who were murdered, to honor James, for example, who was cut in two. when he wanted to make a strong statement, but instead of swearing by James, Apostle Paul called God to witness, meaning he swore by God. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:23 together. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. He called God as a witness. That means he swore before God. Now consider how God swears by himself. There was no other person by whom he could swear. No one greater. Only he had the power to do or not do. And to him all men shall bow, and to him all men shall swear on the appropriate time. Isaiah 45, verse 23, together. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. So God swears by himself, and he's calling you to swear by him. Now Jesus explicitly warned against making oaths by minor things. And let me read Matthew, please follow, Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. That's good. But I say to you, do not swear at all. And then people say, aha, you see, the Bible says you shouldn't swear at all. That's for people who don't like to read the rest of the Bible. When you continue, he's saying what you shouldn't swear by. You should not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne. You should not swear by the earth, for it is his footstool. You shall not swear by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Instead, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now, there are two serious errors that people make here, and that's what the Jewish leaders made then. First of all, they swore about less important things. Like someone will say, I swear to help you move tomorrow. That's not that important. Moving is okay, but you don't swear I will be at your house to help you move. Something can happen. It's not a big deal. And your friend won't be mad at you if you couldn't show up. If you get sick, you say, well, I have COVID, but I'm still going to go. No, you understand that's not a serious matter for an oath. But the reason the Jews wanted that is because they didn't always want to feel the obligation to honor those oaths. But they wanted to look good. But swearing should only be for important things. No, if someone says, I'm going to see you tomorrow. Oh, good. Or if someone says, I swear I'm going to see you tomorrow. People feel better about that. And God's saying, no, don't do that. Let your yes be yes. If you're going to do it tomorrow, do it tomorrow. That's not a serious matter. The second error is this. And that's what that passage really was about. Instead of swearing by God, the Jews developed categories about what they should swear by. So they swore by the temple. But you should only swear by God. Or they swore by heaven. Or they swore by the earth. Or they swore by Jerusalem. Or they swore by their head. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to give their parents that they were holy and that they were better than they were. So they would swear. They didn't want to use God's name because they knew what that meant. But they wanted to give the impression that they were really, really good people. And Jesus is saying, don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by the temple. Don't swear by the gold. Don't even swear by your head. Swear by God alone if you're going to swear. But they develop these things just to look good. Now, there are many modern examples of swearing oaths today for minor things. and therefore swearing by things other than the Lord. So you would hear in our culture, I swear by the sun above me. Or if you're a good Italian, I swear on my mama's grave. Or I swear by the breath in my body. Or I swear by my head. Or I swear by my children. Or I swear by this cathedral. These are all bad. No creature is worthy to be used in the taking of oaths. You know why? Because no saint can independently fulfill what you promise. No dead mother can do anything you promise. No place makes an oath more powerful or useful. You could get married in a basement apartment with a couple of witnesses, and that marriage and that vow is just as precious as if you did it in the most beautiful church building. That's why we don't swear by anything else but by God, calling Him to witness. Because if you don't make the oath, you don't fulfill the oath, He can hold you responsible. How do you do that? What does your dead mother do? She can't hold you responsible. If you swear by the temple, what will the temple do if you break the promise? You might look good to others because you take an oath, but the temple can't do anything for you. In fact, Jesus rebukes this type of swearing. Let me read again, Matthew 23, please follow. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold in the temple, he's obliged to perform it. So you see, they even had subcategories. Oh, you have to keep it if it's by the gold. Fools and blind, Jesus said. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that's what they would say, that it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on the altar, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift on the altar that sanctifies it, the gift? For which is greater, the gift on the altar, sorry, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift on the altar? You notice what they were doing here. They were playing games. They were playing games. And by doing this, what were they avoiding? The use of God's name. They were misusing the third command. You see, when you ignore calling God to witness, on just occasion, you're treating Him with contempt. Let's conclude. Take oaths, but don't blaspheme, and work to prevent others from blaspheming God's name. Second, take oaths, but do so reverently, bringing honor to God's name. Do it properly. And then third, take oaths, but not by lesser creatures or for frivolous things, or swearing by frivolous things. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God is now your heavenly Father because of what Jesus Christ did for you. He redeemed you from your sin and shame, from the claws of the devil. He gave you a new heart, a new record, a new life. He gave you a new name. You're named after Christ Himself. You are in a perfect place. There's none better. And one day that perfect, even perfect place is waiting for you. So with that new heart and that new name and the new record and that new life, you have to bring honor to God's name by speaking the truth. And when necessary, have the confidence to take proper oaths in the Father's name and so honor Him. Even speaking up against others who are misusing God's name. And one last thought for those who are not a Christian. You can never use God's name rightly unless you are God's child. You have no business calling God to witness your promises. You have no business asking God for help. You have no access to Him. trying to ask God to bless you when you don't love him is wickedness. It's a misuse of God's name. You would not have the proper respect for God if you do, as to who he is and what he has done, unless you're first changed inside, regenerated. Therefore, in order to keep this command, and all men are bound to keep this command, you need to ask God to make you his child. How does that happen? Well, you ask him to take away your sins. You ask him to count Jesus' punishment on the cross as your punishment. And then God has obligated himself to do so if you sincerely ask. I hope you will do so today. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are this wonderful, true, powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. Thank you for being our Father. Help us to have that respect for your name, to be willing to take oaths in your name that will bring honor and glory to you, that will add weight to what we say. Thank you for saving us and giving us this opportunity. May we not be reluctant, but to stand up and call upon you to witness. We think of those who are preparing to profess their faith, even to be baptized, that they will think of the gravity of what they are promising. Hear us then. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.